right? And now, it is the mavens of gaming, the ladies of lovely, luscious, lickable controllers. I don't know. Lunchtime, so we're still in that something. I don't know. We're still in that Rome for some. Who's it? It's.
I'm having lunch with you West Coasters right now.
What is it? 11 o'clock for them?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
And 12 for some of you, 1 for us, and you East Coasters are angry all the time.
What do you mean? I have to wait.
I'm from Brooklyn. I don't wait. Okay, well, that's good to know, but it won't save you in this instance. Let's get us a little applause. Woo!
Thank you. Thank you. Sure, please pull your shirt down. Thank you. As long as it's a shirt, not the pants. Some of you people, I swear.
Camera's gone wild. Okay. So, okay, so I tried the Fold-It thing yesterday.
Uh-huh, how'd that go?
Oh, man, that is addictive.
Is it that good?
It really is good. If you like a good puzzle game, and please don't picture jigsaw pieces when I say puzzle. It's like a 3D puzzle. Rotate, you know, you rotate it and everything. Wow.
Wow.
I was playing for about an hour and a half before. I was like, I gotta stop doing this. I got stuff to do.
I may have to download that.
Yes, and it runs in your browser, and my lowly laptop was able to run it beautifully. So if you have a high-end computer, you'll just be wonderfully in heaven. And it explains to you kind of sort of what you're doing, what the things are that you're moving, if they're proteins or these type of things, and which way they're supposed to work and how you make them work. So I see where they basically gave you the tools and said this is what this is, good name for them, so they will know when they go to look at it, these are the proteins. So, ingenious, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, and there were constantly people logged in and talking back and forth. It was awesome. I liked it.
That sounds pretty cool. I downloaded it, and I'll totally admit this. I downloaded it, and I never played it.
Well, we have a lot to play here, so people don't realize.
That's so true.
I have no idea.
I get people asking, so did you play this? Did you play this? How about this? I am one woman.
I will mix my way around to it eventually, but it won't be today.
Four games at once. I can do. Nah.
Wow. So if you haven't played Fold-It yet, try it. I'm also, my newest addiction is Alchemy. I'm trying to get Ginger to play. There's a competition going on in my house.
Yes, yes, yes. I will be finding that one in a little bit and playing.
Yep. Bring it to all of you.
Maybe five games at
once. Hey! See, the iPad's being stolen with the Alchemy combinations, and there's nothing I can do because I'm on air. If y'all hear some punching, then don't call the police. It's okay. I'm beaten up.
Don't call the police!
Yeah, don't call the police.
That's hilarious. All right. Well, while she is beating up somebody, I guess I'll just go ahead and jump on in here because I know y'all are here for some news, right? Listen to that. See, yeah, she's totally whipping on somebody. That's so hot. Oh, yes, and I have it on good authority. She's in those little red shorts.
Hey!
What?
Fuck you.
People are like, what little red shorts? All right, anyway.
They know which ones. So.
Okay, so here we go. Furry Legends, the long-awaited physics platformer for DSiWare, coming October 13th. Yay! I love that day. To North America. Yay! All right, so Gamillion announces today that Furry Legends will be available on October 13th for purchase in North America from the Nintendo DSi shop, on Nintendo DSi for 500 DSi points, and from Nintendo eShop on Nintendo 3DS for $4.99 USD. All right, so what is Furry Legends? No, it's not about your wife's furry legs. Here we go. Furry Legends for Nintendo DSiWare is a fantasy. Hey, I shaved today, so I know it's not about me. For Nintendo DSiWare is a fantasy adventure game based on the same WiiWare game. The environment and puzzles in Furry Legends are driven by real-time physics, featuring moving bridges, falling stones, rotating elevators, and much more.
Wow.
And, yeah, in the Furry Legends world, everything is a bit crazy. Furry Legends takes place in a distant world called Furland, populated by lovely furballs created hundreds of years ago by a mysterious deity known as the Creator. Furry Legends lets the players experience the unknown story of a group of furballs who encountered an invasion of strange triangular beings that came to Furry Planet from another dimension. Oh, I cannot talk.
Good Lord.
I know, right? Okay. What were those little furballs off Star Trek? I can't remember them now.
Oh, see, I don't know. I wasn't a Trekkie.
Oh, and I'm going to get shot. I should know this one. All right, so anyways, key features. Four worlds. Explore the Furland through four varied and detailed environments, including the home planet, an evil volcano, and mysterious pyramids. Action. Furballs will have to fight against loads of evil triangles triangles with different superpowers and perform heroic actions like an epic escape from the center of a volcano. And we've got real-time physics. Solve puzzles with a new engine allowing physical interaction with Furland's world. All right, so this sounds pretty awesome. If you want the links to check this out, and if you want to see a video of it, head over to GameMatrix.com this morning. I have it already set up for you.
Do you? Really?
I do.
Are you for certain that it's set up?
I am for certain.
For certain?
I am for certain.
Okay, we're goofy in the afternoon, apparently. It's worse in the mornings. Ah, just a little bit. All right. You guys, the biggest news this morning, of course, around the web is the Kindle Fire. Mm-hmm.
Kindle Fire? Are Kindles catching on fire?
No. Amazon.com has confirmed with several news outlets. Joystick. I think we got one. Gemma Sutra.
Sorry, hold on.
Uh-oh. Is BT... You lost your BT?
No, I'm here. It opened up another window for some odd reason. It was talking to me. It was being loud.
Wow, interesting. But they're saying they'll be bringing a 7-inch Android-based LCD tablet to the market for $199 with access to, yes, games through Amazon's Android App Store. Ooh. The Kindle Fire, as the tablet is called, features a modified version of Android focused on presenting a smoother, more intuitive user interface. Now, unlike the iPad, which retails for about $499 and up, the Fire does not offer a built-in camera, microphone, or an option for 3G data connection. Fire users will have all access to the apps available. Have access to all the apps available on Amazon's App Store, which includes a wide selection of games, titles including Plants vs. Zombies. Mm-hmm. Of course, Angry Birds is there. You know how they are. Fruit Ninja, which is actually a lot of fun. These were all shown at the event they had today. Jeff Bezos called Fruit Ninja uncomfortably therapeutic. It really is, especially for me because I love to cut people. Cutting fruit will work. Bezos stressed that the content on the Fire would be backed up by the cloud automatically, allowing users to delete local content from the user's 8 GB of internal storage as needed. That's why they're able to do it so cheap, not a whole lot of space. And you can work with that if you know how to work with it. My Xbox still has the 8 GB drive, and believe me, I work with it well. He says the model that you need to back up all of your own content is a broken model. He says we feel the same way about syncing. Bezos said, showing a little picture of the iPhone's USB cable. Evil! He explained syncing should be done invisibly, in the background, and wirelessly, and it should actually work, much like my Zune does. My Zune syncs wirelessly. I love that feature. The device will also connect to Amazon Prime's streaming movie service, as well as Amazon's MP3 store, Cloud Drive, and Kindle Cloud Reader. The Fire also features a new split browser called Amazon Silk. Sexy, right? That splits the web page processing between the Fire and Amazon's EC2 cloud service. Silk will analyze, aggregate reading habits.
I'm so glad I'm not the only one having these issues this morning.
I have a whole sneeze thing of trying to happen to while I'm doing this. It'll analyze the aggregate reading habits of Fire users to preload pages that it thinks users are likely to visit in the future. Of course, mine will be filled with Stephen King all over the place. A pre-order page for the new tablet claims the Fire will get up to 8 hours of battery life for continuous reading or 7.5 hours for video playback, with the Wi-Fi features off, of course. The tablet's 7-inch screen will support resolutions of up to 1024 by 600 pixels, according to the page.
Ooh, pretty.
Mm-hmm. Amazon also announced the Kindle Touch, a new version of its game-playing e-ink digital reader that will be available November 21st in a $99 model, yes, with Wi-Fi support, and a $149 model that includes free 3G service. Free! Did you hear what I said? Free 3G service? Awesome. Wow.
That is awesome.
Mm-hmm. The company is also offering a non-touch screen version of the Kindle for $79 starting today. The new e-ink Kindles. Wow.
Did you hear that person who should be listening? $79.
The new e-ink Kindles will include a new reading service called X-Ray, which will allow you to examine the bones of a book with a locally stored Wikipedia entries for interesting phrases and historical figures. Gamma Sutra is also saying they're going to keep abreast of this because we are not there at the event. They are. So if we find anything else out, we'll let you know. I think this looks awesome, and I want it. And the comments down the page, everyone's saying $149 and free 3G service? Are you kidding
me?
Did I read that right?
That's awesome.
That is awesome. Of course, people are griping that that one will have advertising. You know, the ads don't bother me as much when it's on the iPad and stuff and Kindles like that. It doesn't bother me nearly as much as it does when I'm in my games. It's distracting when I'm in, you know, the Xbox. Very annoying to see game ads, but not so much there.
On one of my games that I play on my phone, my Xperia Play, that I love, it's so pretty. It's a fishing game. I love some fishing. They have the ads that you click on directly below where you're supposed to be reeling.
Yeah, see, that's not...
So if you're not careful, you click on them, and then you lose your fish.
Yeah, see, that's dumb.
That's very annoying. Put it at the top. That's fine. I'm looking out that direction anyways.
The subliminal messaging works. I might want whatever it is you're trying to give me, but don't put it in a way while I'm gaming.
No, because whatever I just clicked on that made me lose my fish, you know I am not buying that crap. Not happening.
Time to cut.
Exactly. You know I love me some fishing games.
Right. Time to cut.
All right. Ooh, somebody told Apple no.
Oh, imagine that.
Imagine that. All right. GamePolitics.com this morning. Apple's multi-touch trademark application denied.
Oh.
All right. So Apple was unsuccessful in its bid to nail down the patent for multi-touch, according to an Ars Technica report. The U.S. Patent and Trademark Office trademark trial and appeal board denied the iOS device maker for a second time. Second, come on guys, give it up. This marks the second try for Apple. That kind of what second time meant, right? The appeal board gave Apple the same reason for denying this term. This time, it's too generic and refers to a wide variety of tech already in use. Apple applied for the multi-touch trademark when it first introduced the iPhone in January of 2007. The USPTO denied Apple's original application, and Apple appealed, arguing that the term had acquired distinctiveness and should only be restricted to the company's products. The USPTO's Trademark Trial and Appeal Board wrote, again, simply because the applied-for term has been used in association with a highly successful product does not mean the term has acquired distinctiveness. nice try, Apple. Try again? Third time maybe it's the charm? I doubt it.
Mm-mm.
Guess it depends on who you pay off. Oh, yeah, I went there.
Oh, she did.
All right.
And it looked like it hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, more lovely news. More lovely news.
Oh, yeah?
Well, there goes our money. THQ has increased their credit limit to $75 million. Yes, THQ, you know those people that made that game Homefront?
Mm-hmm.
They took out a new credit
agreement.
Yeah, they took out a new credit agreement with Wells Fargo for borrowings up to $50 million for working capital, increasing to a $75 million during peak sales periods. The four-year asset-based deal replaces the $35 million credit agreement the company had with the Bank of America, which has been terminated with no outstanding borrowings or letters of credit. Because we're pleased to establish this new, larger credit facility with Wells Fargo. Yeah, that's who we're with. That's not good. They're taking out money. This is from Paul Pacino, THQ's chief financial officer. He said this new line, along with THQ's capacity to generate strong cash flows, provides the company with substantial financial flexibility as it executes on plans for growth in the coming years. THQ has been reducing headcount and closing internal studios over the last 3 years, instead choosing to work alongside external creators such as Crytek and the Left 4 Dead team, Turtle Rock Studios. Well, congratulations, guys, and please don't spend it all in one place.
Yes, do not spend it all in one place, unless you're spending it on me, and then, you know, go right on ahead.
Yes, we need about $75 million in, let me rephrase, $1 million in games, and then... We are going to need cars with vanity plates.
Ooh, vanity plates.
Mm-hmm. And trips to Paris and every event overseas that there is possible to go to.
Oh, that, yes, I like that.
Look,
I like
even
that
if it has nothing to do with gaming.
I like that. I like that idea even more.
Oh, wait a minute. I just got some hot and fresh news from the Eurogamer peoples.
Uh-oh. Is it about us?
No, it's not about us, but people are going to be angry, namely myself, because I'm trying very hard to do a review for this lovely company, Undead Americans, they sent us. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Lovely game, and they keep updating stuff, so it's causing problems. That's why, Undead American people, that's why your review's not done. but there's going
to
be...
keep adding to it.
Yes, they keep changing, and it screws up my stuff. Okay, so anyway, there's supposed to be a home, a major PlayStation Home update tomorrow. According to the peoples over at Eurogamer, a new startup system and updates to the wardrobe and furniture browser headline, a hefty PlayStation Home update going live tomorrow. This is, of course, detailed on the PlayStation blog. It's called Update 1.55, introduces the following new features to PlayStation 3's social network hub. It's supposed to improve the layout, design, color scheme, and text of the startup flow. Startup flow will now also display a variety of information depending on how recently you last visited PlayStation Home, which is only once for me, so that'd be about a year and a half ago. When you're browsing through the category of items in the wardrobe or furniture browser, they're saying they now display the name of the object you've highlighted. Do I really need this? No, don't care. There's also an option in the menu pad folder that displays names for all items. This is a bunch of crap. Look, just leave it alone. they're also saying you can manually clear your cache that Home creates on your hard drive. And saying, of course, this can also cause problems. So you can manually clear the cache now instead of them doing it. There's also an option to view help from the carousel wheel in the menu pad. Loading screen tips now shows different loading screens depending on how many times you visited. Continue to work on improved stability. Blah, 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 blah. Leave me alone. I'm trying to do this review.
Yes, yes, yes. Speaking of, this sounds awesome.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, developers, designers, insomniacs, Corey, do you have what it takes to build a mobile game in 48 hours?
No, I'm not that badass. I wish I was.
XMG Studio and the National Post challenged Canadian students to create a mobile game over the weekend of September 30th and get their share of the $50,000 prize pool. All right, so mobile game developer XMG Studio and the National Post are calling all Canadian college and university students to bring their game ideas to life at the Great Canadian Appathon Squared over the next weekend of September 30th. Hubs, where students can gather, will be set up at over 20 participating colleges and universities across the country to give student game developers and designers the chance to work around the clock and compete for $50,000 in prize. To the Great Canadian Appathon, the largest hackathon to be held in Canada, GAC Squared guarantees participants 48 hours of intense fun, meeting new people, learning stuff, and building a game on top of the world's leading mobile APIs. Some of the talented designers and developers from XMG will be on site at the major universities hubs, at the major universities hubs to motivate and mentor the team. All other coders can rely on a 48-hour support line for questions and advice on how to work with the latest interfaces. Who is this? All right, Ray Sharma, founder and CEO of XMG Studio, says, in addition to the street cred for winning the GCA Squared, we're also awarding the front runners with some serious cold hard cash. The team pumping out the best mobile game wins $25,000 and a Unity Pro 3.x licenses for each of its members. We'll also invite them for job interviews at our office in Toronto and work with them to polish their game and get it ready for publication in an app store. The team whose game takes second place will be awarded $10,000, and another 10 winners will be awarded with $1,000 for a variety of category prizes, including Best Windows Phone 7 Game, sponsored by Microsoft, Best Technical Gameplay, sponsored by Telus, and Best Power and Performance Game, sponsored by NOS Energy Drinks. Douglas Kelly, publisher of the National Post, says, "The Great Canadian Appathon is a celebration of our country's competitive spirit. You have to be extremely driven and dedicated to spend an entire weekend in virtual lockdown building an app from scratch. We will have journalists covering all facets of the compelling challenge for nationalpost.com so that we ensure our young entrepreneurs get the coverage they deserve." All right, so the GCA Squared will start at 5 p.m. local time on September 30th, 2011, and will continue for 48 hours, ending at 5 p.m. on October 2nd, 2011. Following the event, the winning games will be evaluated on criteria such as the degree of innovation, the fun and entertainment factor, the level of art and design polish, as well as stability. The three finalists will be honored on November 2nd in Toronto at the grand finale event, sponsored by the KPMG, and will compete live in front of the panel of judges for the game-changing grand prize of $25,000. All right, so if you want more information about the event, including platforms, team registrations, rules and regulations, campuses already signed on, and other information, you can go to greatcanadianappathon.ca or look them up, GAC Appathon, on Twitter. Yay!
No, and you can't make me.
That sounds awesome. I think people should do that. And then I want pictures of what you did.
No, make sure you say closed pictures. Because
closed pictures, please. Yes, I am aware that y'all are...
You know they like to be naked.
But I don't want to see that, thanks.
All right. Well, it's that time again. BlizzCon 2011.
BlizzCon! Uh-huh. I swear to God, if they don't show their new MMO this time, I'm going to cry.
Oh, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of emphasis on the MMO, given what's going on at BlizzCon this year. BlizzCon Entertainment today announced, or they asked a question, which, I don't know, band do you most think about when you think of elves?
I've not got a clue.
Foo Fighters. Yes.
Elves?
Yes, of course. Don't you think about Foo Fighters when you think of elves?
No.
Well, you should, and you will after today, because they've announced that the Foo Fighters will headline the closing concert of this year's sold-out already BlizzCon, taking place October 21st and 22nd at the Anaheim Convention Center. Now, while tickets to the convention are currently sold out, viewers can watch at home by ordering a BlizzCon virtual ticket, offering comprehensive live coverage of the event, including, yes, the Foo Fighters performance globally over the Internet and also on DirecTV, if you have it, here in the U.S. Over the course of their 16-year career, the Foo Fighters have sold tens of millions of records, won half a dozen Grammy Awards, raised countless voices in sing-alongs of iconic anthems like Everlong, which is my all-time favorite song, My Hero, Learn to Fly, All My Life, I like that one too, Best of You, and The Pretender. Foo Fighters' BlizzCon debut makes Mark's founder Dave Grohl's triumphant return to the convention after playing drums for Tenacious D in last year's show, and comes during an international arena, stadium, and festival tour promoting their seventh album, the international number one record, Wasting Light, which I've not heard yet. Of course, opening up the concert will be the artist formerly known as Level 80 Elite Taran Chieftain.
I know, his title gets longer with every expansion. It's nuts.
They're returning to BlizzCon following a two-year interstellar tour, interstellar, by the way, through the Cropular Sector. I'm sorry, Corporlew Sector. Blizzard's in-house metal band will amp up the crowd with an earth-shaking set of both familiar and brand-new songs drawn from the Warcraft, Starcraft, and Diablo universes before returning the stage over to the Foo Fighters for the main event. There's no better way to cap off 2 days of gaming entertainment than by blowing the roof off the convention center with an awesome rock concert. Now I want to be there because I love me some Foo Fighters. Oh, my God. Of course, everyone attending BlizzCon and watching from their home can look forward to ending the show with a bang when Foo Fighter brings the house down, or Foo Fighters brings the house down. Well, let me tell you the price of a virtual ticket, because obviously you can't go. $39.99 USD, which is a lot if it's just you. But here is what I'm saying. You have an entire month now to prepare. You people out there listening, I say you make it a party. You tell people pay your $5 to cover the cost of your $39.99 ticket. And if you got a big old TV like I do, that's a party right there. That's all I'm saying.
I'm going to Corey's. I'm going to watch it on Corey's TV.
Wait a minute. Don't you have a projector TV?
I do. I do. Sorry. will do. I'll bring my projector and we'll watch it at your house.
Ooh, I got a whole big old empty room, too, with a big wall.
Mm-hmm.
And we put the speakers outside. And, oh, that's out of order. Oh,
mm-hmm.
I love STEM. I love it. Anyway, if you also, they would like us to let you know that if you need a job, they're also hiring.
Blizzard?
Yes. eu.blizzard.com/jobs. And they're saying get you there quickly because I think they're going to stop hiring after BlizzCon is over. So.
BlizzCon, hold on to my job. I got to finish this. Then I'll go over that way. All right.
Yes, Ginger, they are hiring. Yeah. I'm actually looking to see what they got up. I don't see. Well, I want to.
They need one that says Ginger.
What's your position to come to Ginger?
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. We can't have any of these jobs.
Darn it.
They want you to speak Portuguese, Italian, Polish, and Russian. And some of it's European. Yeah. So if you got any of those skills, you're in good. They also need some. Yeah, this is all customer service, all overseas. Crab nabbit. Crab nabbit.
Darn it. All right. Speaking of overseas. GamePolitics.com this morning. New publisher targets Middle Eastern market. Market. All right. So Persian Gulf-based Red Stallion Interactive officially announced its existence this week and detailed its plans to target Middle Eastern markets with game content for mobile platforms and PC. The company's plan is to create original content and games based on original IPs that is tailored to the Arab culture. Red Stallion will hopefully fulfill a growing demand for interactive content that speaks to the cultural and entertainment habits of different international territories. This is coming from Dr. Mohamed Juman, the representative shareholder for Red Stallion Holdings Company Trans Technologies. The company is funding the venture. All right, so he goes on to say, we will look to bridge the gap by focusing distribution of relevant and appropriately localized games and media. As the face of interactive gaming evolves, Red Stallion will be at the forefront, leading the charge toward joining these forces and markets together. While the Middle East is a rapidly growing environment for gaming, traditional Western publishers are leery of entering the market because of the region's strict culture and strong religious beliefs. Obviously, the key is to create content that doesn't offend the sensibilities or traditions of the culture. Yay! And actually, that's a good idea. You know, if they're gaming, if people are gaming, we're too busy to be fighting with each other.
That's what I say, but what do we know?
Mm-hmm. Gaming will bring you together.
What the world needs now. Well, speaking of world together, this is, I don't even know what to make of this news. Well, you know how you guys, a lot of you over here, hate that when you call for tech support, you're calling overseas. And it just sometimes just does not work out well. Well,
sometimes.
Well, get ready for that problem with your Xbox. They're not moving the tech support overseas, but they're going to move the production overseas. Microsoft has announced it will begin producing.
Great, so 3-year-olds are going to be making our Xboxes?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
They're saying it will begin producing up to 17,000 Xbox systems every week in Manaus, Brazil, this October, allowing it to offer the system at a severely reduced price in that region. Yeah. The new manufacturing plan extends Microsoft's current agreement with Flextronics, Inc. to produce systems in China and will allow the company to sell Brazilian Xboxes for roughly 40% cheaper than previously. Starting October 5th, a low-end 4-gigabyte Xbox 360 will cost, I'm not sure what their monetary value is, $799, and it works out to about $435 here. In Brazil, that's a lot of money, God. While a high-end model with a Kinect depth sensing camera will cost $1,399, which works out to about $761 here. Existing stocks of older imported systems will be cleared off Brazilian shelves at a slightly reduced price in a bundle with Forza Motorsport 3 and Alan Wake. Wow. So can we get one of those? Microsoft is also reducing the Brazilian price of the Xbox Live Gold memberships and Microsoft Point cards and localized versions of titles like Gunslinger, Kinect Sports Season 2, Halo, Combat Evolved Anniversary Edition, and Forza Motorsport 4 will all be hitting the country this holiday season, the company said. This summer, also, Sony officially opened its PlayStation store to Brazilian customers, making it the second Latin American country to have access to the digital marketplace. So, I don't know. what to say about that. So it seems like they're just going to sell them in that region. So maybe it works out good for the gamers there. But
yeah, because I don't think I want my games built by...
Well, here's a question I have is, okay, that's still pretty expensive. $435 for an Xbox that's, you know, not one of those, you know, special editions is a lot of money. Okay, so if you're in Brazil and you got peoples in America, and what's going to make it so much better, you know, by calling your cousin and say, ship me an Xbox? You know, here's my money. I'm not understanding. This is not a reduction in price to me. I mean, I know I don't know what their economy is like, but God, that is a lot of money for some gaming when you can just have somebody send you one. Maybe we should start that business. We will ship you an Xbox. Do they have the same electrical outlets and stuff that we have, right?
No, I don't think it's like the UK at all.
Look here, Brazilian people, y'all call us. You know where we are. We'll hook you up. That's still a lot of money for gaming. I don't care what comes in the bundle. You could buy that and buy those games for that price.
Yes.
And one of them is not coming in a bundle. It's just it's a 4 gigabyte. Good God.
That is nuts.
Okay, I'd be mad.
All right, what have we got? Perfect World declares war with War of the Immortals. War of the Immortals takes the battle to a whole new level. All right, so Perfect World Entertainment, I don't care about that, today announced its latest MMORPG, War of the Immortals, a new addition to its long lineup of popular online RPGs. Leveraging Perfect World's latest cube graphics engine, War of the Immortals features destructible environments, beautifully vivid landscapes, and awe-inspiringly epic monsters. All right, so this is Fang Fan, product manager of War of the Immortals, says, with the announcement of War of the Immortals, fans of role-playing games can rejoice as we bring the MMORPG genre to a whole new level with fast-paced action, more content, and bigger PvP elements. Ooh, I may like this. War of the Immortals brings the most requested features from players together in a compelling new game. In War of the Immortals, the evil legions of Ragnarok have returned to Atlantis, and players will find themselves in the aftermath of a great battle. With impending doom still at Atlantis' doorstep, players must heed the call to action and take up arms. Only then will good have a chance to prevail over evil. As War of the Immortal implies, players should expect that the conflict has been escalated with more challenging content, larger-scale battles, and engrossing PvP. War of the Immortals will include the following features: eight heroes to choose from. We've got Berserker, Champion, Heretic, Magus, Slayer, Duelist, Ranger, and Enchantress. Unique soul gear equipment.
How did I get in that game?
Guild housing, territory wars, pet soul system, interactive environments. I wonder if that's going to be like... I can't ever think of the name. Anyways, all right, so if you want to check this out, facebook.com/ War of the Immortals. I'm going to try to have this up on Game of Matrix in a short moment for you, but I'm having an issue with one of the images. So,
oh,
Game
sure,
of Matrix.
Blame the images. Sure, blame the images.
They didn't want to give me. They're making me have to go hunt for it.
Also, on another hiring note, Capcom Vancouver is hiring for you people looking for jobs. Designers, producers, software engineers, artists, animators, and sound artists. How do I know this? Our jobs board. Have you visited lately? Just want to tell you, right there on the front page. All right. Also, Sony Gamma Sutra's reporting, Sony Ericsson today announced a partnership with Square Enix that will see the Japanese publisher bring a number of its established titles to the Xperia Play Ginger Xperia. Square Enix will release numerous titles via the Android marketplace exclusively for the Xperia Play handset, starting with, are you ready, Ginger? Are you ready?
Yes.
Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light in November.
Ooh.
The title was originally released for Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, Windows, and iOS last year. I don't know how I missed that one. This is the first time the game will be released for an Android device. Ben Cusack, who's the head of mobile for Square Enix Europe, explained that the company is looking to bring its most popular console titles to the mobile device. This is just part of what we plan to do together, he said, but right now we are delighted to be able to show off the full potential of our games with this innovative smartphone and bring them to life as our creators intended.
Ooh.
Of course, the Xperia Play was launched back in May. Remember, Ginger got hers, and we listened to all the squealing.
I love mine. It feels so awesome.
It is the first ever PlayStation-certified phone. The device also comes preloaded with 7 titles, including Asphalt 6, Adrenaline, and The Sims 3. Did you have The Sims 3?
Yes.
And you don't play it?
I don't play. I've got it. I've tinkered with it.
It's not as fun. It's not really fun on there. And that is definitely needs to stay where it is, yeah. Cece. So, yeah, you guys, very, very excited. I'm going to have to go find this on the iOS and see what I missed out on, see if it's on sale for a dollar. Because if it is, I's going to has it.
I'm going to has it. That does sound pretty, yeah. Okay, what else do we got here? Social game makers warn monthly active user numbers can be misleading. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com. Looks like they pulled it from GameIndustry.biz. Two social game developers are warning that using inflated monthly active users, or MAUs, numbers is not a good idea, particularly when it comes to data coming out of games available in Asia. According to social game makers InnoGames and A Bit Lucky, monthly and daily active numbers from Asia are not a good measure of a game's success because some regions don't offer any serious monetization. Gerhard Florin, chairman of InnoGames, told GamesIndustry.biz, Asia is not our highest priority. It's good for reach and to have a lot of MAUs and DAUs, especially if I go to the Philippines, but I'll never make any money there. They are huge Facebook markets, but deliver extremely small revenues. Florin adds that these numbers are great for making headlines, but not so good for making any actual money. Florin goes on to say, we're more interested in the revenue making than in the millions of people inflating our servers, but never paying anything. The balance needs to be kept. A Bit Lucky CEO Frederick Descamp says that in a space where measuring analytics and user behavior is central to the design of a game, inflated numbers corrupt the important data. He says, we've had a pretty terrible time, like most developers in Southeast Asia, Indonesia, Malaysia, and India. These regions inflate your numbers, and they muddy the water on the analytics side because you'll see an influx of 20,000 people, but right away we know that most of them are not going to come back the next day. Most of them have a pretty terrible connection, so they're not going to enjoy the game, and they absolutely do not monetize. Companies like A Bit Lucky are putting their focus on growing in markets where customers can actually be convinced or are already inclined to make in-game transactions. Companies, that I already said that, to put it a bit more bluntly in our case, we are targeting North America and Europe because those are the audiences that retain the best and monetize the best. This is coming from Descamps. So in some ways, we're not spending any efforts to market in those other regions. I can't blame them. I mean, if the people aren't going to come back, if they're not going to spend the money,
then there's no point in doing it.
Exactly.
Poor babies.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to slap a Band-Aid on it.
Or cut it out.
Cut it out.
Just go ahead and cut it out. It'll hurt, but you can cut it out. Like, you know, anyway. All right, so Epic Games, they're saying, yeah, we know you love your Gears 3, and you're like, where's the next Unreal Engine? So, yeah, you'll get it in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Ouch. Yeah, Tim Sweeney, he said he doesn't expect the next version of the popular Unreal Engine to launch until about 2014. He says he spends 60% of his time every day doing research work that's aimed at their next generation engine and the next generation of consoles as well. See, planning ahead is good. Mm-hmm. This is what he told all of the people over at IGN. He said this is technology that won't see the light of day until probably around 2014, but focusing on that horizon enables me to do some really cool things that just aren't practical today, but soon will be. He went on to argue that the biggest challenges for new technology will be dealing with multiple CPU cores. He said, once you have 20 cores, you can't easily – yes, we don't think about this stuff. This is why I don't design engines. This is exactly why. I just do the games. I can come up with game ideas, but no, none of this other business. He says, you can't easily say this is going to be for animation, and this one is going to be for details on the face of the character because all these parameters change dynamically as different things come on screen and load as you shift from scene to scene. So the big challenge will be redesigning our engine and our workload so that we can scale more of these different computer tasks between CPU cores seamlessly in real time and dynamically so that you're always getting the maximum computing power out with the engine, regardless of what sort of work you're doing. Epic was founded by Sweeney and Mark Rain back in 1991. Wow. And currently has around 120 employees developing both the Unreal Engine and games like the Gears of War franchise. Gears of War 3, of course, was released last week and was the seventh biggest 360 launch of all time.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Awesome. And it's about that time for us to take a show. Well, no, we got about 6 minutes. Can you squeeze one in there?
I sure can. All right, I'm going to pull another one from GamePolitics.com. It looks like they pulled it from MCB. Ofcom receives 25 complaints about ITV's IRA documentary. All right, so NCV reports this morning that the UK broadcast regulator, Ofcom, has received 25 complaints after it was revealed that the British TV channel ITV aired a documentary containing ARMA 2 footage that was presented as real footage of the Irish Republican Army using weapons supplied by Libyan dictator Muammar Gaddafi in a 1988 attack. Really? Y'all used game footage? Really? All right, so further details on what Ofcom plans to do about the situation were not revealed. Ofcom is the UK's communications regulator with jurisdiction over television, radio, fixed-line telecommunications, and mobile devices. Yesterday, ITV apologized for the mistake, that was not a mistake, and claimed that the ARMA 2 footage was included in the film by accident, stating that the makers of the film had actual footage, which will be added into the film at a later date. Until that happens, the film will not be available on ITV's player service. Some question whether the clip of the film was supposed to contain even exist. Yeah, I doubt it does. I'm thinking they used video game footage because there's not a real clip. And now they're just trying to cover their behind.
I'm kind of in shock.
Game footage. Seriously.
Wow. Okay, I'm going to move it along.
It was an accident. We don't know how this happened. We were playing the game and we were recording and we just hit a button and ta-da. No, sorry. I ain't buying it.
What does one say to that? All right. So
I don't think you. I think that's just one of those situations where you just got to look at the person and shake their head. Cause,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, we got 4 minutes. I might be able to squeeze this one in. Remember that game Syndicate from EA? Well, and how it died a horrible death. Well, apparently it's back from the dead. EA's revealed release dates for the upcoming Starbreeze Studio-developed Syndicate first-person shooter reboot. EA announced at the Gamma Sutra attended press conference in Las Vegas on this past Tuesday that the game will be released in North America on February 21st, 2012, while it will see a release on February 24th in Europe. These dates were later clarified by an EA rep to Gamma Sutra. The company did not note whether the PC version will be released on those dates or whether it will come at a later date compared to the console versions. The Syndicate, of course, reboot was first announced by EA earlier this month as the company said that it was reviving the classic franchise as a brutal sci-fi first-person shooter experience. EA also revealed at the press conference that Klee Entertainment's 2010 2D downloadable brawl Shank has also been given green light for a sequel. Shank, wow. Syndicate developer Starbreeze Studios revealed
Shank.
Earlier this... Yes, Shank. Revealed earlier this month, it is working on a new, as of yet unannounced IP with a top Swedish film director as well. So some interesting things going on over at EA. I was wondering what happened to Syndicate. I kept saying, I remember some game they were coming out with. Maybe they feel like they have a chance. Yeah.
You may feel like you do.
Mm.
All right, what have we got?
2 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, we do have 2 minutes, so we just want to
break time.
Break time. Dun, 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 dun.
Really?
All right, when you come back, we're going to talk about Infinity Ward and what they're doing with cheaters. Yeah, I'm totally singing. I'm a little bit hyper today. I can't help it.
Wow. What are we going to do with her?
You're going to keep me because you love me.
Good Lord.
She's going to play slow music and hope to calm me down.
Oh, no. This is not slow.
All right, here we go.
I'm looking at my man. He said, play it for me, girl. I said, all right. this to me. I'm serious. I'm so serious. I love the Legends of Zelda theme. I'm over here like, oh my God. I had that in the car the other day. Mm-hmm. I pulled up next to the people at the stoplight. I'm all banging on the steering wheel. I'm like, yes. I love the looks I get when I have my game and music on. I always get a double take from people. They're like, is she listening to Legend? Is that the theme to Tetris? Yes, it is. Thank you.
That is awesome. All right. You're going to kill me.
Uh-oh.
You're going to shoot me. But I have to do it. I have to.
Why? What happened? What'd you do?
Oh, good Lord. And this, I'm going to be shot afterwards. So if y'all don't hear from me again, yeah.
Spit out.
HarryBalls.com, irreverent game site, wants your game characters in their bathing suits.
You know what?
I'm sorry. I have to.
Go on, Ginger.
All right, HarryBalls.com is seriously irreverent video game information is looking for game developers with a sense of humor to send one 600 by 400 image of a character or two from one of their video games in that character's favorite or not so favorite bathing suit. Why? Because they plan to publish a special new annual section of the site called the Bathing Suit Edition, which gently makes fun of traditional media swimsuit editions while promoting upcoming video games and entertaining the gaming consumer. All right, I'm sorry. I just had to read that part. That was hilarious. I will skip to, like, some real news because, oh, my God.
I was shaking my head at you.
You can shake all you want. All right. I'm going to skip to another one. That was hilarious. GamePolitics.com, Infinity Ward going to war with Modern Warfare 3 cheaters. Yeah, I told y'all. We've been telling you, cheaters, it doesn't pay. All right, so Infinity Ward's creative strategist, Robert Bowling, says that the studio has learned some hard lessons about online cheating from previous Call of Duty games and is taking extraordinary measures to make sure that there's little or at least less of it in Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. To that end, Bowling says that MW3 will have dedicated teams monitoring online activity and dealing with anyone foolhardy enough to cheat. The teams of cheater hunters won't be the game's only line of defense, though. Bowling says Modern Warfare 3 will also feature improved code that checks for players using hacks in the game and will take advantage of Steam's VAC, Valve anti-cheat technology. Bowling says there's been a lot of work put into it. I can't go into specifics. On a general high-level area, there's so much more stuff that we've locked down and made less accessible than we had before. It's also about our ability to take action when stuff is wrong, so we've done a lot of work and our ability to update the game more quickly and efficiently than we have before. Modern Warfare 3 deploys to PC, PS3, Wii, and Xbox 360 on November 8th.
Yay. Well,
cheaters, y'all suck.
I think I want that. Here we go. So, you know how awesome we are as gamers? Last week, we found the cure for AIDS. Well, now we found other planets.
Mm-hmm. Planet?
That's right. Gamers help discover a new planet using NASA's data. University researchers have identified what may potentially be two planets outside of our solar system thanks to users, a.k.a. gamers, taking part in an online gaming experiment. A number of organizations, including the University of Oxford and Yale University, set up a browser game called Planet Hunters, which allows players to look through data supplied by the Kepler Public Archives and search for potential planets. Players are able to observe the light emitted by stars and seek out periods during which the light curve for particular stars dips in signal, suggesting that a planet may be moving across the face of the star. Now, the team is then able to use the collected data to search for planets in potential areas, rather than having to sort through 150,000 individual stars amongst a small group of scientists. Every user who helps discover a planet is then named in the acknowledgement as part of the Royal Astronomical Society monthly notices. Isn't that lovely? Hello. Ginger. Are you there, Ginger? I think I'm
lost. Still here. No, I'm still here. I was muted, and I kept hitting the plus button to add participants instead of unmute. Why can't you hear me? I'm talking. I'm here.
Okay, so Planet Hunters, of course, is a new citizen science project designed to engage the public in an exoplanet search using NASA Kepler public release data, explains an official report, which you can find on the web at many different places. PDF. We may grab it and post it up for you if you really want it. If you want it, let us know. If not, I'm not posting it because it might be stuff you might not want to read. Of course, so they're saying in the first month after launch, users identified two new planet candidates which survived our checks for false positives. The team described the involvement of citizen scientists as a valuable and reliable tool. See, you all thought we were useless
citizen
gamers.
Scientists. I like that.
I like that too.
That's much better than the whole citizen's arrest.
Well, I like to do some of them too. Especially people. I'm really excited. I'm going to play this too because I love me some outer space. I think we're going to get there in our lifetime. I don't think I'm going to go, though. I'm going to stay here on this planet. But I'd like to help discover some new worlds.
I would too. I don't know. I think we'll tell like the moon, maybe Mars, but no further than that in my lifetime.
Yeah, I think when I'm old, they'll be having housing on the moon. But they'll be like, my grandkids will be like, Grandma, yeah, no, I'm not going on, no.
I mean, take me.
You can take Ginger. Ginger want to go.
I volunteer.
Boy, here we go.
I did not say it. Y'all did not hear it on air. It was...
Oh, no, that was Wonder Woman. She was RTing our Twitter, which I said how awesome we are. Gamers are awesome.
We are. Okay, let me see. Housemarque releases self-funded Dead Nation DLC Road of Devastation. Independent Finnish developer Housemarque, the critically acclaimed studio behind Super Stardust HD, Outland, Dead Nation, and the upcoming Furmans, have today released the first DLC for PlayStation Smash hit Dead Nation in North America. The Road of Devastation DLC offers gamers new gameplay content and challenges both in single-player and co-op modes. The DLC will be released on September 28th in Europe and other available regions. Road of Devastation DLC was continuously in the development since the launch of the original game for over 8 months. This represents as the single biggest development effort on DLC Housemarque has done to further support a game after the release. Alright, again, this is not totally all in English, so yeah. After the initial release of the game, we talked with Sony and made a unique arrangement to bring the DLC to the market. We funded the development, and Sony published the additional content, says Housemarque CEO Ilari Kuitunen. We certainly hope that our fans will appreciate our efforts, as we think Road of Devastation DLC offers hours of fun for both veteran and novice Dead Nation players. All right, so Dead Nation DLC Road of Devastation will present you with a variety of new tools and equipment to dispose of your enemies, while introducing new enemies and obstacles encountered in unique new environments. Since the launch of the game, Dead Nation has been a top-selling PSN title, having fans all around the globe. After being included in the Welcome Pack offering, the game has reached over 3.8 million downloads. The DLC is priced at $3.99, and pricing for other territories can be found in the local PlayStation stores. The DLC contains both single and co-op modes, offline and online, and add new trophies as well. Further news and details on the Road of Devastation DLC can be found on their Facebook, which is facebook.com/deadnation. And if you want to check out the actual website, it's housemarque.com, house, MARQUE.com.
Are we done?
No,
we're not.
Oh,
is she trying to get away? Do you guys see this? Ginger is trying to escape. Like, we're going to let her.
No, never let me escape. I don't want to escape.
Y'all heard that. I didn't say it. Ginger did. All right, so I'm sorry. I was over at the planet checking out the planet's game. PlanetHunters.org, by the way, in case you want to join me. All right. What happened to my story? I had a juicy one. Am I talking? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
All right. Well, hang on.
I was just singing because, you know.
You were singing to fill the time. I understand.
Yeah.
Well, GamesIndustry.biz, I'd like to give them a pat on the back, especially Miss Rachel Weber, because apparently she listens to us when we've been saying that hardcore gaming is not determined by what games you play, but your love of what you play. Sid Zeniga, of course, is breeding a whole new breed of hardcore gamer. A new report by gaming social network Raptor has suggested that its users spend more time playing Zynga games like Farmville than Gears of War or Mass Effect or Assassin's Creed or even my beloved Grand Theft Auto franchises all combined.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Mm-hmm. In fact, when the time spent online playing The time spent online playing that's been tracked since 2008 was divided up by franchise with Zynga's Uville, Farmville, Petville, Frontiersville, and Cityville took a 13% share just behind Halo with 14% and World of Warcraft with just 17%. Call of Duty was way out in front, of course, with 43%, while other core franchises like GTA and Mass Effect shared just 12%. This massive study looked at the time Raptor's 10 million users spent playing both hardcore games, again, change that phrase, like Halo and Call of Duty, and Zynga's games like Farmville and Cityville across consoles and PC. Currently, Cityville sits at the top of the app MAU leaderboard with a grand total of 72 million users.
Zynga I'm so glad it's not Farmville.
Well, not far off from it. I haven't been back to my Cityville in months. Zynga, of course, has a total of 226,758,976 MAU across its entire portfolio.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. The study also showed that the Ville series of games might be played for shorter durations than core games like World of Warcraft and Call of Duty, but they are still played four times more often. Impressive figures. But, of course, this trend reflects the style of gameplay as much as the habits of gamers. World of Warcraft and Call of Duty offer a prolonged action experience with complicated tasks, missions, and stories that cannot be delivered in short bursts. That is so not true. in social games like Farmville, users are often given a limited time of energy with which to play and are rewarded for frequent visits. No, if you don't play like I do for a couple of months, when you come, you can sit down and get in a good 3 hours of play. You know how the energy builds up, so that's not true. One place, of course, where Zynga's dominance is certain is in the social gaming sphere. According to statistics dating back to 2008, Zynga's player total online playtime for games like Texas Hold'em, Poker, and Cafe World was three times more than the rest of the social gaming top ten, including Bejeweled Blitz and Monster World combined. There were also some interesting statistics regarding crossovers in hardcore and social gaming. Nearly 20% of Raptor's World of Warcraft players also played Cityville. And there was a rise in the number of Xbox 360 gamers who tried a Zynga title, an increase of 50% since last year. 50%! This may be good news, of course, for Zynga executives. The social gaming giant recently made amendments to its IPO filing that suggested profits were actually falling. When it comes to free-to-play, what matters isn't how many people are playing the game or how often, but what percentage of those are spending real money on microtransactions. Raptor, of course, was founded back in 2008 and is a social networking service for gamers where they can send instant messages, track achievements, and log in activity, and I don't like it. of course, you can go over to the Raptor website to see the full report. It's on their blog, blog.raptor.com, and so on and so forth. Go check it out if you want to know.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. It's time to go, actually, Jenna Mae.
It's time to go.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be back tomorrow.
Maybe. No, I'm kidding. She's like, maybe.
She should be back tomorrow. Look, I know of. Yeah.
Look, Ginger's like, maybe. That was the question. Did y'all hear it?
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Is there something I don't know about yet?
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, by the way, you guys out there need to make sure you wish Snow White a happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Flash my boobs.
Hey, I'm supposed to flash my boobs.
Oh, okay. Well, you do it too.
Let's flash them together.
Flash! Yay, flash! Love you, Snow.
Cut us. And I say she should cut you first so I can run.
No.
What do you mean, no? Just take one for the team.
No.
Ah, fine, be that way.
Oh, no, oh no, oh no. Yo, yo, yo. Oh no, you didn't. Sucker tried to play me, but you never paid me, never. Oh no, you didn't. Payback is a coming, you will be running forever. Oh no, you didn't. Until I get my vengeance, I will never end this mayhem. Oh no, you didn't. I'm a mercenary, you ain't got a prayer, you owe me. Oh no, you didn't. Oh no, you didn't. Oh no, you didn't. Oh no, you didn't.
Ginger.
Later, boys and girls. Mwah.